the Free for All Roundtable.
Round one.
On round one this morning, Tim Hudak is here, former leader of Ontario's Conservatives. He's now with the Ontario Real Estate Association. CTV radio commentator and, like I say, Dowson is here as well, along with international trade lawyer Mark Warner. Okay, we got to start with the budget. It's not sexy, but there's an awful lot of takeaway from it. And Tim Hudak, I'll start with you. You've probably, well, first of all, you're an economist, but you've probably sat and listened to enough budgets in your life.
Sure. Well, look, I think some of the central problems in Canada really would be we have too much government spending. Taxes are too high, not enough homes. And on this, I'll give them a good amount of credit, John, for a plan to get more homes built across Canada that checks a lot of the recommendations that the Ontario Real Estate Association made. So mission accomplished there. But it goes in the complete opposite direction when it comes to even higher taxes that will impact Canada's productivity, ability to create new jobs, and even more spending and debt. And I'm particularly concerned about the capital gains tax increase. It doesn't impact the broad range of Canadians, but it may mean that people who have secondary residences, who are investors, are going to be a lot less likely to put those on the market in order to avoid taxes. I think that actually will constrict housing supply in the long run.
Okay. And like I say, Dowson, not a lot of sympathy out there for the rich, but it was a bit of a sucker punch yesterday to find out it wasn't about income. It was going to be about capital gains.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't have a lot of sympathy for about the 40,000 or so people who may pay a capital gain that's greater if they sell, if they have value of over 250 grand, like I, you know, there are people pushing for a wealth tax, which we didn't get. So a little bit more capital gain, I don't think is the end of the world. There's a real feeling of irritation with the fat cats out there. So I, you know, I get that. And we know trickle down from tax cuts to the rich has not worked. It's kind of a joke at this point. 50 years of that nonsense and look where we're at. So, I mean, I think, you know, in all overall, Canada is in the best fiscal situation of any of the G7 countries. Our debt to GNP ratio is one of the lowest. So I'm not too concerned about the deficit. I know that that's what business likes to talk about. So anyway, we're two budgets away from the next election, which will probably be in October 2025. So we are seeing the Liberals gearing up for a fight. I think this budget generally is good on housing affordability. It expands health care to include pharmacare and dental care, and a number of other measures that we're hoping they'll work on. So, I mean, what we really need is lower interest rates. Ideally, we'd have rent control, but I know that's not a popular thing amongst business. And we need the CMHC to backstop mortgages on nonprofit and co-op housing. So overall, I mean, I think it's, you know, they're gearing up for an electoral fight, the Liberals, and they're tackling the attacks from Pierre Poilievre front and center.
We'll get to the interest rate in a moment, actually, because one of our panelists actually has a column in the Sun all about it, Tim Hudak. But Mark Warner, your take on the budget.
So, you know, my focus in everything is all things international, whether it's economics or whether it's law or whatever, so trade. So that's the frame in which I look at things like tax increases or interest rate lowering. I always say, how do we do that in the framework of an economy that is tethered to, for all of our wealth, to the United States? And I'm going to preempt Tim a little bit here and say, I don't believe you can have an independent interest rate policy in Canada. Never have. I don't think that makes any sense. I know people like to talk about things like that. And similarly, I don't think you can have an independent tax policy in Canada. I retweeted something from the CEO of Shopify last night, Toby Luca, who retweeted something else from another entrepreneur, startup guy. He said, Canada has heard rumors about innovation and is determined that it will leave no stone unturned in deterring it. And I think that's kind of how I'd look at it. I get it. This will sell well to a certain, these sort of capital gains tax increases will sell well to certain constituencies. We'll see whether it actually gives them a bump in the polls. But it's terrible policy. It's terrible policy where rich people and people who do things can get up and leave and do get up and leave. We don't like to talk about it. We love to talk about all the immigrants coming to Canada. There are a lot of Canadians who leave every year, and this will just increase that.
Tim Hudak, let me come to you on this because you did write a column in the Toronto Sun saying you think the interest rate should come down in the month of June. And yet, just a few minutes ago, we learned that the price of gas is going up tonight by 14 cents a liter. So that could kind of kibosh that.
Well, gas prices will go up and down, right, over months at a time. Look, the underlying inflation rate is actually down under the Bank of Canada's target of 3%. And it hasn't been that long, John. Relatively recently, we started including shelter costs in the inflation measure, so your rents and mortgage costs. And if you took those two things out, we'd be down around the low 2%, if not below, when it comes to inflation. And those two things are increased by higher interest rates. So they actually work in a, you know, supporting inflation way to measure. So the Bank of Canada has actually met its promise that it would get within that range and the lower interest rates. The single biggest thing the government could do to help on affordability is get those interest rates down. That will help on mortgage renewals. It helps on the drain on our finances on an everyday basis and helps bring home ownership closer to reach. Lastly, on this point, we want to get more homes built, and the higher interest rates are, that means there's less money available to get new homes. While the federal government has some very good initiatives to get more housing built, full credit there, the government agencies, the Bank of Canada, Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation, and the regulator for our banks are actually rowing in the opposite direction, and it's holding us back.
Mark Warner, do you agree with that analysis? Because one of the problems is it's a bit of a double whammy. If we lower the central bank rate, then mortgage rates are going to come down, more people are going to borrow money, more people are going to bid on houses, and that's going to drive up the price of houses.
Yeah, look, you know, the first thing I always say, like I said it before here, is, you know, I had the chance to work for a chief economist of one of the investment banks in Canada. It was my sort of real first office job or second office job, summer job anyway. And I remember talking to him about this, and this is one of the things he said. Look, we know in Canada what to do about interest rates, Mark. That's why I don't want to be governor of the Bank of Canada. Everybody's always rumoring that he would become the governor of the Bank of Canada at the time. And he said, we have to basically watch more closely what they do in the U.S. and we attract that, and then everything's right. We try to do something independent, it all goes off the rails. And so, yes, I do understand that it's not a popular view in Canada, but no, Canada can't have an independent interest rates. I think we're looking at the Fed saying that they're not going to cut, that they were thinking earlier of doing it, they're holding back on that. The notion that Canada could go down significantly over a period of time when the Fed in the U.S., that's the U.S. central bank essentially, is just not something that we can do as long as we have an economy that's tethered to the United States. It's just not possible. And so, yeah, I don't agree with Tim on this one.
All right. And like I say, Dowson, you can break the tie.
Well, I agree with Tim, which okay. is somewhat unusual. I think what's driving inflation is housing. And I think he's right. We have to bring down the interest rates. And I totally disagree with Mark. Like, why don't we just tear down the border and merge with the U.S.? I mean, one of the things we have in Canada is a different financial system, and we have a different approach to social programs and to the economy. And that's why the quality of life here is vastly better than what we find in the U.S. I'm kind of incredulous at that analysis, actually. I mean, so we're going to raise $7 billion on that wealth tax, by the way, on the capital gains tax,
yeah.
By the way, $7 billion in the first year, $20 billion in the next five, and it affects a very small number of people. So I don't think anybody's going to be pulling up stakes and taking off, Mark. Like, I think that's a false. I think that's just fear mongering. The rich like living in Canada because it's nice here and people aren't shooting each other. Okay,
well, you might think that, but I expect my phone will ring today. I'll put it that way.
Okay, because I mean, I always say, Mark, if it only came down to issues of taxation, then everybody would live in Nassau.
No, but I think it's more significant than you think, John. It really. I mean, I get it. There's a sort of nationalism, although the most nationalist Canadians are always the ones who want to go to Disneyland. I've always noticed that's just sort of funny. Or Margaret Atwood always seems to find herself in the U.S. to pick up an award. I mean, she has some money attached to the award. Of course, we don't need to talk about healthcare and Canadians on that. My phone rings on that one too. Oftentimes by some of the most nationalist Canadians when they realize they can't get access to some service in Canada that they thought they could under the great healthcare system. So, no, look, Canada is not in a great state. So we have to realize that now. We benefit from the fact that geography has placed us right next door to the world's largest economy. And we get things right when we realize that. We get things wrong when we think we actually are doing it by ourselves.
Oh, boy.
Okay, let's jump to something else, perhaps some controversy here as well. Canada and U.S. Olympic athlete outfits were unveiled yesterday. And honestly, Anne, I'll start with you. I cannot believe the cut of the women's athletic outfit. I don't think a stripper would wear that.
I agree. And some of the athletes are really annoyed by that. Like, what's with these beach volleyball outfits that are basically like skimpy bikinis? Like, and one of the women athletes is quoted as saying, if these outfits, improve performance, the men would be wearing them too. And they are not. So,
tucking involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
And discomfort overall. Like, basically, it's based on the premise that women's sports are not as interesting and as good. So, therefore, you got to sex it up. And that is a bad premise, right?
Yes.
That is a bad premise. It's not true. Women athletes, women hockey players, a lot of them are enormously talented. They run like the wind. Like, let's quit with this nonsense. Like, apparently they have choices, and a lot of them are not going to choose those outfits. Like, I think there was a team that basically got fined for wearing shorts instead of bikini bottoms. I think it was the Norwegian, I don't know what. Anyway, it's pushback from serious women athletes, and I support them.
Well, Mark Warner, it is absolutely true. At beach volleyball, I was at a tournament, and the women play in bikinis, basically, and the guys wear sport shorts and T-shirts.
Do they get more sponsorship? I mean, I've never looked at this. I imagine that if you're a women's beach volleyball player, probably gets more marketing opportunities off that than the male. I've never seen a male beach volleyball person advertising anything. So, I think there'll be some women who want to wear the long pants, and that's great for them, and they won't get any marketing. And they might not
what
win.
What the heck?
And they might not win.
What is this? Okay, you're gonna start going to Hooters, Mark? What's going on?
Wow, you know. Jeez. And the thing about it is anatomically, so much of sports stuff. Just to be serious for a second here, whether it's the shoes people wear or the clothes they wear, everything is designed almost by physics, you know. And the male body and the female body are kind of different in terms of drag and all that sort of stuff. So, look, I'll go with the scientists. So the scientists say that this works for women to give them a little bit of a heads up in some distance race. It'll be the real test of this ad, to be even more serious for a second, is what will the track athletes do? I mean, do we see the people at the top of the podium, the women's track athletes, wear the long pants? My guess is not.
All right. Tim Hudak, your thoughts.
Father of two daughters, cannot imagine. Happy to see these options, whether forced or choice for my daughters. I would expect companies like Nike and Lululemon, which should take themselves seriously in the public eye, would consult the women's athletes before designing these outfits.
Okay.
Here.
We're going to
mother
have
of two daughters here.
Yeah. Oh, he's a liberal now.
Thank you.
I'd like to see you wear those outfits.
Hey, easy,
Mark.
Easy there.
Yeah.
No, I really don't want to see Mark in that.
You really don't
outfit.
Want to see that.
Okay. Thank you all. And like I say, Dowson, Tim Hudak, Mark Warner, very lively discussion this morning. Worth noting, mind you, that when they changed the uniforms in the NFL and they put them in skin tight short pants, female viewership went up.
Catch the round table, round one at 7:45, round two at 8:45. Weekday mornings on More in the Morning. News Talk 1010, Toronto.